Good evening, everyone. It's time for another bedtime story with Thompson. Good evening, listeners.
We're starting on a new book.
Yep, this is. We were partway through chapter one of our new book, Swiss Family Robinson by Johan Viss. And. Oops. So we'll pick up right where we left off. "We're safe," cried the boys, jumping out as we touched land. Elizabeth and I gathered our family around us and thanked God for a peaceful landing. Our hearts were full of joy. After unloading the boat, we pitched a tent near a brook and made beds of dried grass. Elizabeth helped us construct a crude kitchen, and she began preparations for dinner. While I was dragging the two casks up from the shore, the boys set out to explore the area. Jack found a giant lobster, and Ernest discovered an oyster bed. Fritz, returning from the other side of the creek, brought back an agouti, a native pig. He told of beautiful woods and fields with soft green grass for our animals to eat. "Tomorrow we'll return to the wreck and bring all the animals here," I assured him. "Did you see any trace of the crew?" But neither Fritz nor the others had seen even a glimpse of the sailors. After dinner, as the sun sank in the west, we retired to our tent. We had been through a frightful ordeal, but we were grateful to be alive and to be together. And so it was that my family, shipwrecked at sea, spent their first night on a desert island somewhere in the South Pacific. End of chapter one.
Wow,
chapter two. Return to the wreck. The next day, we were awakened at dawn by the crowing of the roosters just outside our tent. Over a breakfast of lobster meat and biscuits, Elizabeth and I made plans for our first full day on the island. "Don't you think you should investigate the land on the other side of the river and see if it's as lush and green as Fritz says it is?" she asked. "You're right," I told her. "We definitely should compare the two areas before deciding where to build our home." "Keep your eyes open for any sign of the crew," Elizabeth called as Fritz and I started on our journey. With this in mind, we chose a path near the shore so that we would be in a position to spot the sailors quickly. But alas, there was no one in sight. All we could see was the wreck bobbing up and down in the azure blue sea. We had just crossed a shallow part of the river when Turk came bounding up and, taking the lead, guided us through the tall grass and tangled vegetation to the top of a hill. The world we discovered that day was truly a tropical paradise. We passed through forests of towering trees of all types, fields of sugarcane, and rolling hills of grass, leafy green plants, and fragrant flowers. Brightly colored birds darted across our path, and monkeys chatted in the trees as they watched our every move. At noontime, we entered a forest of palm trees. The monkeys, frightened by Turk's barking, scurried to the treetops. From there, they watched as we ate our lunch of leftover lobster and biscuits, making hostile noises and grinding their teeth all the while. Suddenly, Fritz leaped to his feet. "Father, I have an idea," he cried. "I'm going to put these monkeys to work." With that, he began throwing stones at the treetops. This infuriated the monkeys, and they began tearing off all the coconuts they could reach and hurling them down at us. Laughing loudly at the success of his scheme, Fritz opened up some of the coconuts with his hatchet. He passed one to me, and we thirstily drank the milk, which we both agreed was not all that tasty. In late afternoon, we headed for home, weighted down by a sack of Fritz's coconuts, a large bundle of sugarcane, and a collection of plates, bowls, and spoons that we had fashioned from gourds. Along the way, we had still another tussle with a troop of monkeys, this time on the ground. Turk, barking loudly, charged into their midst and brutally attacked a female monkey who was cradling a baby in her arms. "No, Turk!" Fritz shouted, rushing to the rescue. But it was too late. Turk not only killed the monkey, but he completely devoured her as well. At first, her little orphaned baby hid in the grass, but then he scampered out and clambered up on Fritz's shoulders. "Father, father, can't I take him home with me?" Fritz begged. "I will feed him my share of the coconut milk and take good care of him." "All right, bring him along," I replied. "I suppose it's the least we can do." No bigger than a kitten, the little monkey rode gleefully home on Fritz's shoulders. They were greeted with shouts of welcome by the other boys, and the monkey soon became a real family favorite. Elizabeth was delighted with our haul, and she showed us how she, too, had been busy while we were gone. She had made a turnspit on which little Francis was now roasting a goose. Beneath the goose, she had spread out oyster shells to make a perfect drip pan. "You know, my dear," I said after I had taken my first bite of the goose, "I do think the land we explored today would make us a good home. However, before I begin such a project, I think we should bring the animals in from the wreck." "I'm sure you're right," Elizabeth said, passing around some Dutch cheese from one of the casks. Otherwise, they will wash away in the first rough sea. Fritz and I will leave at dawn. I don't like leaving you and the other boys alone, so before we go, I will erect a pole with a white sail flying. If an emergency arises, take down the sail and fire a gun 3 times. With the signal pole erected, Fritz and I sailed back to the wreck early in the morning. The first thing we did was to load up 6 of the tubs with the provisions we found on board. Kitchen utensils, a silver service, metal plates, chests of wine and butter, hams, sausages, sacks of grain and potatoes, farm implements, hammocks, and blankets. Filled to the brim now, the tubs sat dangerously low in the water. Fritz then attached the sail and rudder to our little ship to help speed the voyage back to land. "Perhaps we could make a raft for all the animals," he suggested. "Now, son, how could we persuade a cow, a mule, 6 sheep, 2 goats, and a pig to get on a raft, much less remain still long enough to ride to shore? No, we'll have to think of something else." "How about life jackets?" Fritz cried. "We could make each animal a life jacket." At first I laughed, but then I decided it was worth a try. Each life jacket consisted of 2 casks, each one on either side of the animal. These were tied together by leather thongs with a large cork underneath for buoyancy. One by one, each animal was fitted with his life jacket, then pushed into the sea. After only a moment underwater, the animals quickly bobbed up and began swimming toward the shore. Mighty proud of ourselves and in high spirits over the success of our experiment, Fritz and I hopped in the 2 empty tubs, one on each end of the boat. "We're off," I shouted. With the wind filling our new sail, it took no time to get halfway to land. Suddenly, Fritz grabbed me by the arm. "Father, father, look what's coming." I turned my head just in time to see a big, slippery creature rise to the surface, then plunge beneath the waves again. I sat frozen, for heading straight toward the animals was the biggest shark I had ever seen. End of chapter 2. Woo, it's exciting! Good night.
But that's not very exciting to me. It sounds very scary.
Well, a shark can only get you if you're in the ocean. Good night.